You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for
He is good. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. Oh, give thanks unto the
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Come on up. We're talking about perspective. That's how you see things. Another thing about perspective is the perspective we choose and nourish shape us for better or worse into the person we are. Okay? I want you to stand right here facing the audience. Okay? All right? I want you to hold this. Okay? All right? Now, we're talking about perspective. The perspective we choose. He raised his hand, right? So he chose a perspective, right? So he's going to nourish and shape that. Now, you guys have a different perspective. Can you tell me what you see? Good. Give me a mic. I'm going to stand on this side. Tell me what you see.
The backside of a picture frame.
Now, he chose the perspective when he raised his hand, right? Now, audience, can you tell us what you see? So, somebody raise your hand. It might come your way. You guys are going to have to move fast on this. You can go ahead and take the mic. Okay, what do you see? Don't say the name.
A girl with a black dress.
A girl with a black dress? Okay. Who else?
The word season greetings.
The word season greeting is in the picture? Okay. What did he see? Back of frame. Okay, yes, sir.
A young man holding a picture with a young girl in it.
Okay, a young man holding a picture with a young girl in it. Who else? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
A birthday background, I guess you could say.
A birthday background? Okay. All right. Okay.
A young girl seated on a chair looking very happy.
Okay. A young girl sitting on a chair looking very happy. Who else? So far, 6 to 7 people have saw something that he has not seen. And the only difference is where you're seated, and where he's standing. Now, in a moment of time, he can see exactly what you saw. Okay? So would you mind telling us what you see? Hold on a second. Mike, coming your way. Put the mic up. Tell us what you see.
Someone I love.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my.
So that's a different perspective than what you see. Just describe what you see. That's all.
Sister, a friend.
Your sister, friend.
Amazing.
Amazing?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's it?
Gee. That's who I got to protect.
That's who I got to protect? Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. So what happened? When we changed his perspective, he saw even more than what you all saw. Because he's a brother, whereas you all were what? In the congregation, you know her, you've seen her run around, you've seen her start from a little. So when we want to change our perspective, see something different, all we have to do is move from where we are to where we need to be. You can move physically. It's okay to feel it. To move physically. But most of all, we got to move emotionally. We got to move in the way we think. Men, come on up. Men, we're supposed to lift him. Men, we're supposed to lift him. We're going to present him to God. Just lay on the floor. And guys, what we're going to do is, he's on the altar. He's before God. And we're going to present him to the Father. Without spot, without wrinkle. Perfect. Sight of our God. So when you're ready, let's lift him up. Every man, get a part of him. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just release this brother to you. We release Devlin to you. We thank you, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, that every man that's here stands in agreement with what's about to take place. You said in your word, if two or three agree is touching anything, there you are to see to it that it manifests. So we bind the spirit of lust. We bind the spirit of fear. We loosen your anointing to manifest in his life in such a way that his hands are now anointed and appointed to heal. His mouth is now appointed to bring forth your word and might, power, and dominion. We thank you, Father, that he watches. We set a watch over his mouth that he won't sin against you with his words. Father, we call him to stand out. And so as a result of that, he's always tried to stand in. He tried to join in, but you set him apart because he's special. He's designed, appointed by you. And Father, right now, these men, as I step back, will start to pronounce a blessing on him. In Jesus' name, go ahead and speak, guys.
Father, I thank you right now that Devlin has no lack in his life, that he will never see lack. I thank you, Father, right now that he never has to fight again in his life, Father. That I see him that he's had to fight before in the spirit realm and the natural realm. I thank you that he don't have to fight anymore, that he will just take your rest in his life, Father. So, God, I thank you right now that he can still protect his sister, but he don't have to fight and be a warrior, but he is also a warrior inside. But you don't have to fight and keep on fighting. So, Father, I thank you right now that he will just take rest upon you as well. And even while he's tossing and turning and asleep, that he will start to get peaceful rest. He don't have to think about his mother or his sister, bills or doing all the duties. But he will also begin to have rest at night. And his mind can rest. And also, Father, I thank you right now that while he is talking, that his mind and his mouth are in the same speed in which he is thinking about in Jesus' name, that his mouth is not talking faster than his mind. So, Father, I thank you so much for rest, and the warrior mentality is still in his heart, but not in his hands, in Jesus' name.
Ed, you know, the only one that's holding his head, so pray for his mind.
Father, we just lift up. We just pray that he is whole, that he's patient, that he's kind, that he's understanding, that he has a clear mind. He's a sharp man. He's a young man that's ahead of his time. He's mature. He's caring. He's all-knowing. Bless him, Father, that he may continue to grow in the man that you would have him to be and the man that we see. And we take the mantle to continue to work with him and to be there for him, that he may know that we care, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And y'all let him down, just group hug him. We're going to bombard him with hugs. All right, just go in on him. One big hug. Man. We kept on giggling about up there, brother. Give him a mic. We kept giggling about up there.
Well, first I felt good. And second, being honest, when I opened my eyes, I was like, oh, that's a tissue.
Okay.
When I closed my eyes, I didn't see it as Joshua. I felt it as Shia's hand.
Okay, we can't hear you. Speak a little clear.
I felt it as Shia's hand.
Okay.
And that's what I felt it as, and I just feel like I know God's God, I know our God, I know everyone got it.
Okay.
You know, and I just feel like I don't always got to worry.
Okay.
Because I just feel like when Shai grew up, I knew people would be there, but since I was here, I feel like I needed to do that.
Okay.
I ain't want nothing to happen, but I still don't know what nothing to happen to
it. Okay, it won't.
Sometimes when I sleep, sometimes I still can't move because of my dreams. I be thinking about her.
Okay.
I just be thinking about if she get hurt, who gonna be there? What if I'm not there?
Mom, go ahead and hug up on him. He's coming over. You can go ahead and have a seat. We got
if I go to school, I think of her when my mom dropped me off on Monday.
Okay.
She always say I'm gonna hug, kiss, or fist, but I'm gonna high five. When I give it to her, that make my day. Even if I don't come back from school. Happy, even though sometimes we might get into arguments and stuff, even when I come back from school, when I wake up and I see her face in my mom's face, that's what.
So guys, all my psychiatrists in the audience, just write this down. It's called parental inversion. Parental inversion is when a child is to take the place of a father, and that's not correct. So right now, Erica, I need you to speak. You can give me a mic. I don't know what y'all are saying over the internet, but hey, this is how we roll here. So someone told him, you are the father of the house. And because you are the mother of the house, you have the right to release him from that expectation. So repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm entering into a place of rest. First things.
I
want to repent.
For allowing my son. To be the man of the house. So when I speak to my son. I'm severing every tie.
Where he has. An expectation.
And a lie. That
he's the father of the house.
So go ahead and speak to him and say, Devlin.
My son.
I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to the inner part of you.
Your very spirit.
And I release you.
From the lie.
That was either told by me.
Or your father.
You are no longer.
Expected.
To provide for.
Protect.
And take care of.
And take care of.
This household.
This household.
Including me.
Including me.
And your sister.
And your sister.
I release you.
I release you.
To be your age.
To be your age.
To have fun.
To have fun.
To flourish.
To flourish.
To learn.
To learn.
And to walk in your anointing.
And to walk in your anointing.
And as time passes.
And as time passes.
You will walk.
You will walk.
According to your age.
According to your age.
Smarter.
Smarter.
Brighter.
Brighter.
Stronger.
Stronger.
Than any man.
Than any man.
Or person.
Or person.
Of that age.
Of that age.
Smile, my son.
Smile, my son.
You no longer have to dream.
You no longer have to dream.
Or to worry.
What to worry?
Because you are.
Because you are.
Not only my child.
Not only my child.
But God's child.
But God's child.
And he wants.
And he wants.
Fun for you.
Fun for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And all in agreement say.
Amen.
Amen. And Father, I just want to thank you for honoring my prayer that I prayed with my wife this morning. I say, Father, they're coming out in the snow. They're coming out in the ice. They're coming out in the rain. And I say, Father, can you give those who work this weather, travel this distance, will you give them a blessing, a special blessing today just for their sacrifice? And he did. Amen? All right, perspective. Y'all just saw it in operation. His perspective was that I'm supposed to be the man of the house. But our perspective when we saw him is we saw him in how old? 13 years. So our perspective and his perspective was different. Say a moment of time. Do like that. A moment of time. That's how fast God moves. In a moment of time. It's not a whole lot of begging, rolling on the floor, all that kind of stuff. You just speak to it. Whatever we permit is what will be allowed. Thank you, Curly, for that anointing. Amen? Don't try to figure it out with your head. It's a hard thing. All right, we're talking about perspective. When we just saw an example of that. So, guys, what went through your heart when you saw us men lift him up? I want the women to speak on this one.
I was thinking, that's just so awesome to see the men of God praying over something. It's, you know, women pray, but it's just not the same because the man is the head.
Okay. Y'all pray all the time. Y'all always praying for something.
I say compassion.
Compassion?
God's okay. Compassion.
Okay. Got one in front of you, Chris?
To see how all of those men undergirded Devlin and lifted him in the air to God. And it was like that could never occur unless there was a heavy support, a firm support that was able, and one that was very strong that could lift him up to God. And so it was really symbolic of men strengthening a young man.
Yeah, amen. And what I enjoyed was when their hands got tired, they just shifted. You know what I'm saying? When the hands got your hands got tired, I saw y'all, some of y'all doing like that. When the hand got tired, y'all just shifting hands. But you never let go.
I saw the love of a father.
Oh.
And I had to explain it to Xavier.
Okay.
Because he has one.
Okay.
And, you know, and I didn't, not in the home, you know, and I just, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Me and y'all can talk now. Go ahead. Any man want to share right quick? Got one here.
I just felt everything that we was praying was going up and out of us into him, okay. Into his spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Quick question. Y'all just turn around and look at Devlin right quick. That's a 13-year-old laying against his mom. That's not a man laying against his mom. That's where he's supposed to be. Amen? See how fast God's word work? Who else? Megan, you got a mic? You ain't gonna get away that easy.
Well, I saw men doing things that they didn't know they could do in the natural, doing in the spiritual.
Okay. Okay.
Supporting a son.
Okay.
Things that maybe they think walking around, like, I don't know how to do this, but through the power of Christ,
okay,
they could do it.
Awesome. Mr. Dib?
I saw unity.
Okay.
I saw where it was like a feeling of, hey, you one of us.
Uh-huh.
You belong.
Yeah. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Got one in the back?
I saw the village.
Ooh, okay. Talk to us about the village.
Well, it used to say it takes a village to raise a child,
okay,
but as we, it's good in theory, but it, you know, it doesn't always happen.
Okay.
But when I saw everyone, all the men lift him up, it was like I saw the men in the village,
okay,
holding up one of their own.
Okay. That's awesome. Thank you. Got one here?
I think just because you have male parts and you are born a male does not make you a man.
Okay.
And men have to go through certain phases of their life to become a man.
Okay.
And I believe he's starting to go through those phases. And I remember having two counseling sessions with you about parental inversion because I went through the same thing.
Okay.
And I think it's amazing that where I'm seeing him right now, where he is where he should have been a little while ago.
Okay.
So I think that's awesome.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
Couple things, if I could, please. Mm-hmm. When you called us up and you asked him to lay on the floor, you told him to lay at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about Abraham when he took his son up to sacrifice him. And an altar is something that's built up high, and he was going to lay his son on the altar. And us as men were the altar for Delvin.
Okay.
And there's always a ram in the bush.
Okay.
And that was the prayer that we prayed and you prayed for him.
Yeah.
This story is so familiar because I work with men and young men. And I see, I've even had an experience where a young man cursed me out. And I looked at him and said to myself, he must think that he's my age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when I spoke with his mother, she was a single parent.
Okay.
And she told him that he was the man of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was the man of the house, he felt that he was a man in the streets.
Uh-huh.
And he lost his childhood because he tried to take on and fill the shoes and the role of a man, which he didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
So this is truly a blessing that we prayed for him, and he's able to be the little boy that he is and grow into the man that God's intended him to be.
Amen. Amen. Anybody got it? All right. All right, so we're talking about perspective. It's show and tell. All right, so I want to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to go into a little detail with this. Three types of wants. Okay, so wherever there is perspective, there is a want. There is some type of desire. And these are the three types. I want to, and that's desire. Okay? In order to do something, you got to want to. Okay? The second one is, I have to. We talked about obligation versus what last week? Okay, which one? Have we matured enough where we're into opportunity, or are we still in obligation? Okay? And if you need a pencil and pen, just raise your hand. Pencil and paper, just raise your hand. And somebody will bring you something. And the last one is, I get to. So somewhere along the line, these things are going on as you progress in perspective. I want to, which is desire. I have to, which is obligation. I get to, which is the opportunity. Which one do you dislike the most?
Have to?
What y'all don't like about have to? Raise your hand. Let's hear it. I got Chris in the back. He said, I'm going to be the first on this one. Okay.
Well, with have to, normally people don't want to.
Ooh, okay. That's good. Yes, sir.
Well, when you say I have to, you don't leave me no choice.
Ooh, okay.
So you take away my choice.
You take away my choice, and what's wrong with that?
That's a problem.
Okay, that's a problem. Yes, sir.
Yeah, when I say I have to, that means that I have to do something.
Okay.
I have to put something in action to
okay.
get to the opportunity that I want to get to.
Okay, all right. Yes, ma'am.
My
My PE teacher says when someone says you have to, that just means that that person wants you to do it.
Okay. All right. They want you to do it. Yes, sir.
Who is like when you can't resist it. Like, ooh, there's a donut on the table and you just can't resist it. So you just had to eat it.
Okay.
Have to is, for me, it says I have to be accountable to someone.
Okay. And what's wrong with that?
I just have a problem with
okay,
accountability.
Okay. All right. So he had a problem with donut. Yours accountability. All right. Okay. All right. So those are three types of ones. But let's take a look at this right quick. All right. Let me pull this up right quick. I got a scripture for it. It's Psalms 37. Psalms 37:4, I think it is. Yeah, Psalms 37:4-5. We're talking about I want to. Okay, so that's desire. So in Psalms 37:4-5, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him also, and he will do it. And who's going to do it? All right, check this out. So the word delight means a high degree of gratification or pleasure. Keyword, joy. So when it says delight yourself in the Lord, that means you're supposed to have a high degree of gratitude or joy. Remember I shared last week, well, I think it was Thursday night, like Reverend said, if you don't come to Happy Hour, you wouldn't heard it. But anyway, if you came, you would have heard it. How I just started crying by just walking through the house, seeing my wife take a car and drive. Because I remember when we only had one car, now we got two cars. And I just had a degree of joy just seeing, and the Holy Spirit started to replay all the things that at one time we didn't have and everything that we have now. And it says, the word commit your ways to the Lord. That word commit, check this guys out. Check this out. To put in charge or trust. So when I say I'm committing my ways to the Lord, that means I'm trusting the Lord to do what he promised he would do. Check this out, part two. To carry into action deliberately. So when I commit my ways to the Lord, I am putting into action deliberately what he told me to do. But this is the part I love. Check this out, Megan. When I commit to the Lord, I'm putting it in a safe place so that he can be trusted. So when I commit something to him, if it's the finances, it's a relationship, whatever it is, you are saying, Father, I'm putting this issue in a safe place. So if it's safe over here, do I need to go and keep opening up the safe? So, but the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. People translate that as, God gives you what you desire. But the true translation of that, Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek, that means what you have in your heart, God placed it. God placed in you the desires of your heart. So you thought you came up with the fact, oh, I want to be married. God placed that in your heart. Now it's up to you to use the wisdom to commit to him your way about you about to get married. So that way he can show you who you're supposed to be married to. When you get this itch for a new job, it's God placing that in your heart. When you get this itch to start giving over and above, Megan, they want me to move on. Okay? All right, nobody saying that. I don't hear no amen. I don't hear no smiles and nothing. Y'all look pretty tough. Okay, all right, I'm going to move on. Okay, so let me tell you the negative side of I want to. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 in the message. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrelings come from? This is I want to. Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because, let's read this together. You want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. What's your own way? Which store came up with you can have it your way? Who was it? Burger King. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. So where is the quarreling coming from?
When's the last time you had an internal quarrel? That means just you and you. Right? Yesterday. Who said yesterday? Yesterday. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
For, like, the side job I have as a project coordinator, and we were all meeting, and we were talking about getting tickets.
Okay.
And so I was thinking about it was like a quarrel and wanting it your own way, because my perspective was it doesn't make sense to print 350 tickets if you're not holding anybody accountable. You're just wasting paper. That's my perspective.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
But the instructor's perspective, the boss, is that if somebody has a ticket, then they'll be more likely to go.
Okay.
But then I'm thinking, if we're environmentally friendly, why are you wasting 350 tickets?
Okay.
But that's, like, that's my perspective. Gotcha. Okay. But me, out of four people, that's not their perspective.
Okay, okay.
And so it's like, okay,
all right,
well, I'll just print the tickets if that's what I got to do.
Okay, all right. Who else had the hand up? Okay. Mic right here.
I didn't really have an example, but I was just saying I do have quarrels with myself.
Okay.
Often.
Okay. I went through a quarrel with myself about whether to have church this morning. So it's like, okay, I want the safety of the people, but they need a word. Let's see. What the weatherman is saying this. You know, the European model. How many models they got, y'all? How many models? So I'm watching the European model top. I'm watching the regular model. I'm watching his model. Went from 6, 8 to 12. Everybody got a different model. It's like, Lord, would you just protect them and keep them? Those who are going to come, they're going to come. Then so I told Porter, I said, Porter, I'll let you know it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Because he texted me first. So it's like, you know, put on my new bedroom slippers, you know. Throw my robe on because I don't want to be naked out on the street. So I step out on the porch. Oh, this feels like slush. We're going to church this morning. Okay? The quarrel is over. Okay? All right. You want your own way. Oh, the biggest problem that I have in counseling is the word forgiveness. Because, say we want our own way. We want them to act right. We want them to do right. We want them to apologize. What else we want from them, people? Y'all just shout it out right quick. Quit. You want them to quit. Know that we're mad at them. Pain. Okay. You ain't reaching for no gun or nothing. Like. She reaching in the pocketbook. Okay. We want our own way. And fight for it deep inside yourselves. Now, God said, if you forgive, it's forgiven. But no, we don't want to do that. We want our own way. All right? You lust for, write this down. Lust is the desire to have at the expense of others. Love is the desire to give at the expense of self. Lust is the desire to have at the expense of others. So we don't care what we do to you as long as we get what we want. Love is the desire to give at the expense of self. And that's one of the things I feel is what causes Curly and I's marriage to be successful. Like I say, we wake up desiring, how can we all give the other? How can we all bless the other? But if you want to have your own way, that might be a problem for you. Y'all understand? It says, you lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. Now, kill is not only physical killing, but that's talking against a brother or sister. You follow me? So you can come against somebody, and you in God's word, you've already killed them. You want what isn't yours. Uh-oh. What does that mean, guys? I want what somebody else has. In fact, I backbite. What's the OJ song? Long time ago. Backstab. Smiley face. All y'all know the song, right? All right. Finally, I got a song that most of y'all know. Smiley face all the time. Want to take your place? The backstab. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. The moms, they got this saying, keep your friends close but your enemies closer. You want what isn't yours. Ever thought about asking God? You wouldn't just asking God for it, would you? See, that's the peaceful solution. Father, I desire. Father, I would like to have. Father, I have a covenant with you, and as a result of that covenant, I can go to you. I can pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And why not? Because you know you'll be asking for what you have no right to. You don't have the right to another man's wife, another man's, another woman's husband. You don't have a right to a house you can't pay for. And you say you're going to use faith for it. Why do you think the banks do a pre-qualify? What they told us we could get is not what Curly and I got. Follow me? Because the banks tell you you can afford a $3 million house. They know you're making $100,000 a year. You spoiled children. Look at it to your neighbor and say, are you spoiled? What'd they say? What'd they say? I hear one honest answer in the place. I hear one honest answer. The sheriff say sometime. Each one in your own way. What did your neighbor say? They automatically said no? They said no? Y'all can repent later on. All right? All right, I want to. Okay? All right, we saw where that takes us. Let's see what I have to. Now, in the age of 2019, they tell you that you're not supposed to preach absolutes in the Bible, that there are multiple ways you can do things and go around things. Just don't talk to your congregation about things they must do. Follow me? Because that's not politically correct. You got to give people options. You got to give them choices. Okay? But the Bible that I read say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So check this out. It says, therefore, I urge you. Is the urge a pretty strong word? You say pushing? That's pushing you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice. So what's a living sacrifice? That means it's not dead. Holy, well-pleasing to God. Let's read this last verse. Which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Do you understand that you walking around is an act of worship? You being alive, you encouraging people, just your presence is an act of worship. That's a pretty big deal. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Say, how are you packaging that? How are you packaging that? Is it junky? Is it? What does it look like? If you're an act of service, you're an act of worship. If you are a living sacrifice, how are you packaging that? Would somebody want to buy it? Would somebody want to believe what you're sharing based off how you present yourself? Are you screaming and hollering at the job? Do people know you based off the fact that they see you come in and they go another way? When everybody looks at lunchtime, do they scatter so they just thinking to themselves you might ask them and they don't want to lie? How are you packaging the fact that you are a living sacrifice and you representing God? Okay? No answer? I'm good? You want me to move on, Ashley? Just move on? Is that what I should do? Okay. So that's an obligation. That's not a choice. He said he urges us. Brothers and sisters, that means he didn't leave anybody out, did he? To present your bodies. Number three. I get to. Now this is Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract us and focus our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. The first incentive for our belief. We get a belief that lines up with God. He's the one who started it, and he's the one who's going to finish it. But we got to stay in him in order to bring it to completion. So how do we stay in him? How do we stay in him? That's the question. Inquiring minds want to know. How do we stay in him? You got one in the back?
We pray.
We pray, okay. But what are we going to pray?
We're going to pray for our blessings, that okay. We got here safely today, that okay. We have a great family, that okay. We have a great job, that okay. We have a great church. Okay. Just okay. blessings.
So we're not going to pray the problem?
I'm not.
Oh, you heard it. You heard the weatherman, didn't you? That's it. He said he's not going to pray the problem. He's going to pray the blessing. Focusing our eyes on Jesus. The blessing, the problem. Remember how we did this the other week? We had 12, 13 people over here, and we had one over here. Guys, this is good in theory, but you're only going to be able to do it in Jesus. Everything that I share with you guys is done through Jesus. There's no other way. Sharon got up here and sung through Jesus. Sound people through Jesus. The greeting people through Jesus. Everything is done. We make it look so easy that you think it's us. But when you ask us, we always got to make sure that you understand it's him. And the one who brings our faith to maturity. Who's going to bring our faith to maturity? Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to answer the first question.
Okay, let me go back.
And I stay away from distractions by repeating the same scripture. I've been using this scripture now for about 6 months.
Amen.
So I feel like I need a new one.
Okay.
But I always say God will perfect those things that concern me.
Okay.
You know, because I can, well, not can, but in my past, I could freak out for every small situation. So, like, for instance, Monday, got a call from the doctor about the baby, and they think we should get a EpiPen. Normally, I would freak out. Like, what do you mean we need an EpiPen? Oh, my God. Why? You know, what's going on? Is that bad? And I just say, you know what? God will perfect those things that concern me. I'm going to go get that EpiPen and carry it around, but I'm never going to need it.
Amen. Amen. She's smiling when she talks about the thing, too. And the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy? What kind of joy? For the joy. Oh, that's an opportunity. Guys, when you minister, minister out of the joy, the opportunity. I get, you mean tell me it's going to snow and stop me from being able to minister? I got people that need the presence of God manifest. Somebody here got an issue that they could only get solved today. I get to be the pastor. That's a joy for me. You get security. Them boys, they might look tough, but they smile on the inside. Because I look around and see how they look. They look, yeah, that's right. Nobody going to mess with the pastor's anointing. Yeah, yes, sir. We'll take them out. They won't even know what hit them. That's right. So don't get fooled, people. They know what it is. But the joy of accomplishing the goal. When last time you celebrated the fact that you accomplished the goal? If exercise were your thing, you said I'm gonna exercise beginning of the year 2019. If you went 3 days this week, you need to celebrate. I ain't say go out and get some. Get you a salad. Ain't nobody applied no salad up here, but brother with me, brother. Thank you, appreciate it, brother. Get you celebrate something, okay? In your budget, if you're gonna buy something, buy a new outfit to work out in. Follow me? But you got to celebrate. Don't wait until you lose the weight to celebrate. Celebrate along the way. All right? Set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Just finish the thing. Finish the thing that you started. But you don't have to finish it by yourself. Look at it as an opportunity instead of an obligation or what's the other thing? A twisted desire. Say twisted desire. Because, guys, we can get some twisted desires, I'm telling you. All right? Write this down. Say it out loud. Read this thing out loud. Because people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, Sharon. Y'all, you ready, Roslyn? We're going to read it out loud, everybody? It's never the situation. It's the way we choose to view it. Amen. I got one amen over there. Thank you, Madeline. Never is a pretty big word. Now, I got two people that's going to come up one at a time, and they're going to share about how it wasn't the situation, but the way their perspective of it. Anybody got any questions on this? Because other than me teaching on codependency, this is one of the biggest issues that I face in counseling, in the body of Christ. It's because people want to say it's the situation, but it's how you look at the situation, okay? Who wants to go first? Sharon A. Sharon. Sharon's going to talk about the perspective of a husband. Ed's going to talk about perspective of finances, okay? So what changed is their perspective.
Hmm. My perspective of our situation and my husband was that, I don't know, do I need to say what the situation was or just say what, just how?
Well, just drift back to how you used to talk about him in service and how you talk about him now. Fair enough?
Okay, yeah. Through a lot of counseling and a lot of prayer. I used to be very angry at my husband. I was frustrated, disappointed, annoyed with him because of our financial situation. I was always pointing the finger at it and blaming him for everything. And I just wasn't thinking too highly about my husband, this man that God gave to me. I was struggling. And I just thank God for Pastor, because I did counsel a lot, I did complain a lot, and I thank God for who he is, because, you know, through our prayers, things change also. And so my perspective of him was that he was never listening to me, that he had a situation on his job where he lost his part of his salary because of what was happening in the business of the company, and he would not go look for another job. So it was like, I mean, your salary's been cut in half. We don't have enough money to pay what we need to pay. Why aren't you doing something? That just really irked me. It ticked me off. And so my perspective was, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing as the head of the household, as a man. So what changed? The change came when I asked myself the question, well, what's my nickel in this dime? You know, he is the priest of the household, but, you know, we are united. We are one. So he may have lost part of his salary based upon what was happening in the company, but I've been retired for 17 years, and I had a career. I had a marketable career in which I was no longer working in. So I thought to myself, well, gee whiz, there is something that you can do. Go get a job. Lord, those words did not ring well. I wanted what I wanted. It ain't me. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm retired. I've been retired. I paid my dues. You need to do something about this. And but I had a little talk with self, and I knew that there was something that I could do. So I'd learned a long time ago that, you know, I am, so I can do. There was nothing keeping me from, you know, getting a job. So I applied for a substitute teaching position with Chesterfield County Public Schools. I got hired by them, and God just did amazing things as far as that is concerned, because I became the a favored, God gave me favor with this particular school. So therefore, I was working regularly. And that did change the dynamics of our finances, because, you know, we were getting money in. In the meantime, you know, we had to set up a budget, and we started working the budget because we needed to know what was going where, when it was going there, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, I don't know when it happened. I don't know when I started thinking differently about my husband. It used to be, you know, when he would talk, I just thought he talked too much. He took too long to say whatever he had to say. You know, that was my perspective of him. But now, it's, oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, that changed a lot during the Thursday night service. Holy Spirit had Pastor to come up here, and Ed came up. He had on his BW Pest Control shirt on, and he asked me, you know, what was my perspective of that shirt. Did you say perspective back then? Yeah. And it was, I didn't think too much of that shirt. And he said, well, you know, do whatever you want to do with that shirt. And I ripped that shirt to shreds. We took that shirt home. I don't know if you told us to take it home and burn it. We took the shirt home, put it on the grill outside, and we set that shirt afire. And we stood over that shirt and watched it burn together. And we prayed a prayer and just kept on, kept it moving. I listen to my husband now. When he has something to say, you know, when Pastor asked him something as simple as, okay, Adam, you got Devin's head, pray for him. In the past, we've been like, oh, Lord, what are you going to say? How long he going to talk? But no, my perspective is God has placed on the inside of him what he wants him to say, how he wants him to say it. My problem was I was looking at him from how I thought he should say things and how I thought that he should do things. So that changed for me. Okay.
Don't look at the notes. Don't look at the notes. Right. To be continued. I just asked him today about Algo. Go ahead, Ed. You talking about finance, how your perspective changed.
Hit the 5-minute wall. But I talk too much. Right. it's a blessing. We've been together for 37 years, 36 years. We've been married for 35. And I've always had an issue prior to now with finances and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to make it. And we got to a certain point where I realized I hadn't accomplished what I needed to accomplish. And I felt some kind of way about it. And that kind of way, my reaction was not to tell her. You know, I would stuff things. And she's asking for the details. And I didn't always have the details. And then God has always been in my life. And certain things have happened. I'm going to take a quick minute on this. Some of you, if you don't know, but I had cancer back in 2009. And as I'm recovering, because it was a miracle, that I asked God to show me what he wanted me to do. And January of 2011 is when he introduced me to David. And April, we started BW Pest Solutions. And so I had this commitment and this relationship with him and God. And we have had some crazy rocky road that most people would look at and say, why are you still with him? Why are you still with him? This is from both sides. And both of us would have to say it's not about us. God had released us. And not knowing where it was going from there. But he said, look, my commitment to you is that I provide something to you for the rest of your life. Because I didn't bring anything to the table other than my experience. And the part of the frustration was he didn't always accept my experience. So we've had this road, but we're still existing. And now I hit 70. So he's pushing me. It's time for you to go. We're going to make this happen. And some things have happened. I'll give that testimony another time. But that brings me up to, where do I go from here? Well, when I hit 70, I had to start taking my Social Security. Well, that was an income that we really didn't know how much it was going to be, and it was a little more than what we thought it would be. I had to take it. So, so now we can start paying some bills. In the meantime, Sharon is now doing the substituting and got long-term sub where you get more, and she get a couple of jobs like that, and, we got a little extra money. Because we always had just the bills paid. And so now I'm able to say, okay, it's not where I want it, but we're getting there. So now I'm able to tell her and talk to her, communicate what's going on, what's happening. We got the check on time, or the check's not going to be on time, or whatever. We've sat down, we've started budgeting, we're seeing ourselves paying certain things off, we're seeing money in the savings account, and thus I'm comfortable with relating to her financially. And that's the biggest change. And I'm accepting the fact that 70 does bring some things that I wasn't ready for. You know, I just can't do everything I used to do. And with that, my perspective, the change is that I have become more comfortable with myself, with the fact that I can be open and honest with her, and the results are awesome.
Amen. Any questions? So your mind work is, because I'm going to take y'all to the next level in this next Sunday. We're going to go in and find out what is that one area that you thought it was the situation. And I'm going to start to allow the Holy Spirit to show you. It wasn't the situation. It's not the situation. It's how you process it. Fair enough? All right? Okay, let's close.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com. Or call at 866-333-9505.